Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Poor, and my guest today is Tom Scar. And Tom is here to talk about Sean Morris' plea deal. So, Sean, how are you feeling?
Well, you know, I had a pretty bad bout with the diabetes. It's a horrible disease because it affects you mentally and physically as well. You know, there's a lot of depression and it's just a horrible disease. But I'm on the rebound right now, Cynthia.
Well, you know, when people hear about diabetes, you know, my impression is getting arms and I'm sorry, legs and, like, in your case, toes amputated. But I was not aware of the emotional side of this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Very.
Wow. So when I picked up the paper this morning, I was a little bit shocked to see that Sean had done a plea deal. So how long ago did you know that this was going to happen?
I knew a while ago, not all that long ago, but very recently. It was apparent to me and to Sean, I think, that this is, for his family's sake and for his sake, this is the best road to go. And I think it's the culmination of and the ending of a very, very, very difficult time for him, for the city of Cohoes, and for his family especially.
I'm going to play devil's advocate. In the event that Sean would have won the primary, this could have gotten pretty bad. I mean, I don't think he would have taken a plea deal, do you? If he was
I don't know if he would have. You know, it depends on what the offer was, I think. If the offer had been a misdemeanor, then he would probably have taken it because it wouldn't require him to have resigned the office.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the fact that we lost the primary in a very close race, probably gave the prosecution a little more ammunition to push for a felony.
Oh, wow.
There's an old saying that about capital punishment. My father told me is that if you don't have the capital, you get the punishment. And, you know, a lot of times in order to go to trial in a federal trial, the cost of it, the financial implications are extremely tough, that it would cost tens of thousands of dollars to pursue a not guilty plea in federal court. And, mm-hmm. you know, Sean has a family to raise, still has a daughter to raise. He's done a great job getting her on the right track. And it's important for him, I think, at this point, to do what's best for the family. And, you know, I think that when it comes out, I can't go into what I understand the plea deal is, but I think that when it's done and it's published today, probably that it will be, people will understand that it was a good deal and it was something that Sean should do. Just to get everything over with.
I'm going back to the speculation if John had won. If he had won, and I know you don't know, you probably maybe are privy to this, would Sean have done a plea deal had he been the primary victor?
I don't know. I don't know what the what would have happened. I know up until very recently, he was prepared to go to trial. And I, again, I think that the financially, he couldn't afford to at this point. He's going to be without a job come the time of sentencing. And, you know, as I said before, he has a family to raise. He has a daughter that he is totally dedicated to. And he has an obligation to her to get this all over with. They didn't need to go through a trial. They didn't need the publicity that that was going to be emanating as a result of the trial every day. It's been a difficult road for his daughter especially, and his other, you know, his family. And I think that Sean, you know, surprisingly, what people don't know is that he is a dedicated family man. He's dedicated to his family. He wants to see them prosper, and they've been through a lot. Now, was a lot of it their own fault? Yep, it was. But when you're a 15-year-old, you know, it's difficult to put blame on a person at 15. So Madison, his daughter, is for the time being anyways, Madison, his daughter, is doing very well, and she is going to have hopefully a lot of weight off her shoulder after this whole thing has been adjudicated and it's over with. And I think that this is a great move on Sean's part. I think that the publicity that would have come about as a result of a trial, you saw the publicity that he got just when he was mayor, you know, anytime he did anything positive or negative, there would be a part of the articles that would say that he was under federal indictment, that he was accused of this, he was accused of that. Well, the accusations, you know, in the beginning of abuse, et cetera, physical abuse, were unfounded. They were unproven. His wife took back whatever she said, but it still was in the paper all the time. That takes its toll on a family, believe me, especially young children like his daughter. So hopefully that will be over with.
What's from your understanding, what's the maximum he could get?
Oh, he could it depends on what he pleads to. You know, it really does depend on what the charge is that he's going to plead to. I believe very strongly that he'll get probation. The maximum could have been 20 years in prison. 20 years in prison was the maximum on the charges that he was facing.
Wow.
But I'm hopeful, and I believe very strongly that this plea deal will result in a term of probation.
Now, when is this supposed to happen? Do you know?
Today. My understanding is he's in Binghamton with the and that's where the judge is located.
Okay, but when will the sentence be defined today?
Well,
also,
Cynthia, I'm not an attorney, but my understanding is that there's a pre-sentence investigation that has to be done, which means that today there will be a plea, and a plea deal will be entered, and then the federal government probation will do a pre-sentence investigation prior to sentencing to make a recommendation to the judge as to what the sentence should be. Now, a lot of times, if there is a plea deal, my understanding, again, I'm not an attorney, if there's a plea deal that's accepted by all parties, meaning the prosecution, the judge, and the defendant, that's what the sentence will be, you know, and that will be based upon what the probation department recommends. But they'll interview people and talk to people and, you know, make a decision as to what they will recommend to the judge. But 99% of the time, whatever the deal is what his sentence will be. At the time of sentencing, this is my understanding, at the time of sentencing, he'll be required to resign his office.
So if Sean resigns before January, then who would assume the mayor of Coase?
My understanding is that there'll be a mayor in place to administer the city until the swearing in of the new mayor on January 1st. That person would be the president of the Common Council.
And who's that?
You know, I can't remember his name.
Oh, boy. Okay. Okay, fair enough. Is Sean Morris finished politically?
I don't know. I mean, honestly, I don't know why he would ever want to go back into politics. You know, my feeling, and it still is my feeling, Cynthia, you know, I agreed to help Sean when the allegations of physical abuse came up because I knew that they weren't true, because I knew the story. I didn't know about the federal charges because they hadn't come up yet. Mm-hmm. But I decided that, you know, having known Sean for quite a while, especially when he was chairman of the legislature, or when he was chairman of the redistricting commission back in 2010, when Dan McCoy was chairman of the legislature and I was his senior policy advisor. I worked very closely with Sean when he was the chairman of the redistricting commission. And I saw, you know, I saw him in action and saw what type of ethics he has and his honesty at that time. He was extremely honest. He did not let legislators influence his decisions as far as redrawing district maps, et cetera. And I respected him. I worked very closely with him, and I like him. You know, is he tough? He's a very, very tough man. But that's an exterior toughness that he has. Inside, he's a very soft, caring individual, and I've seen that many, many times. And then I researched him, and I saw that when he was a firefighter, he saved lives, and he went and he was Santa Claus at Christmas time every year. He went to senior citizen centers before he was ever involved in politics to make sure they were okay. That's the type of person that we need in government. Do people make mistakes? Absolutely. And perhaps Sean did make a mistake that, for one reason or another, rose to the level of criminality, according to the government. But that doesn't diminish his character as far as I'm concerned. I think he has a strong character. I don't understand why he would ever want to go back into politics, because he has been ripped apart. He's been ripped to shreds, not only by the press, but also by people who were members of his own party, who jumped to a conclusion when these allegations of abuse came out. And jumped on the clarion call of the governor for Sean to resign immediately. They all jumped on that. Instead of waiting to find out if it was true or not, because the governor said Sean should resign, then they all piggybacked on him and kind of kicked dirt in the face of one of their own. And I think that's a shame. I don't think that's at all part of the process of judicial process, where you're innocent until proven guilty. So I hope he doesn't go back into politics, to be honest with you. Personally, I think Sean would be great. He would be a great labor negotiator because he did that professionally. And he would be great at a lot of things. Real estate sales, for instance.
You just mentioned something very important, was the fact that there were so many elected politicians who called for Sean's resignation. Do you think that they did that for their own personal betterment?
Absolutely. I think it was part of the Me Too. I think it was part of the Me Too movement. And I think that it did happen. They all called for his resignation around the time of elections. And I think it was just, You know, the governor said it, and everybody jumped on. You know, listen, not every person who claims abuse is right. And that has been proven with Sean and his situation. You know, he was investigated by the state police. He was investigated by the Cohoes police. He was investigated by the Colony police. And he was investigated by the Rensselaer County Child Protective Services. Mm-hmm. And at the end of it all, what happened? No charges were filed, and he got full custody granted to him by Albany County Family Court. So you tell me who was wrong. Was it the people who called for him to resign, or was it Sean? Don't forget, their call for resignation had nothing to do with these federal charges. It was all based upon the allegations of abuse that were unfounded and untrue.
You know, everybody knows that you have been aligned with Dan McCoy for a number of years. Wasn't Dan McCoy one of the people that called for Sean's resignation?
Yes, he was. And and you know, I obviously did not agree with it. Dan said, you know, he had a little disclaimer in there. He did say that if these allegations are true, then he should resign. So, you know, it was not a call for immediate resignation like the governor made and Pat Fahey made and Kathy Sheehan made. It was if it was true, he should resign. I do agree with that. If it was true, then he should have resigned. It wasn't true. And it was proven that it wasn't true. Now, let me ask you this, Cynthia.
Yes.
Did you ever hear one person say, we were wrong, we apologize?
No.
To Sean?
Isn't
that funny? They were quick to say you should resign, but they didn't say after it was all unproven, they didn't say, I'm sorry, we were wrong.
Is it funny or is it sad, Tom? I think it's sad.
And I'll tell you why. Look, Sean won his first race as an independent, not as a Democrat. He became a Democrat, and he's never been one of the go-along, get-along guys at all. You know, he was always one to walk to the beat of his own drum and to do the things that he thought he had to do for the people that elected him. And it's funny that the people who were part of his family, Democratic family, are the ones who turned on him. Now, I'm not making excuses for anything he did that may or may not be true as far as these federal charges are concerned. And I heard stories of his, you know, his reaction to certain things with women for a lot of years. But those are stories. You know, there's a difference between a story and a fact. And the story that was made up about the allegations of abuse were proven to be untrue. And he has never been charged with anything. And do you think that Judge Maney would give full custody to a gentleman who there's even a question as to whether or not he's abusive? You know, I mean, it's you know, I think I feel very bad. I feel bad for him. I feel extremely bad for his family. Because we all make mistakes, but you don't have to bring the family into it, you know? And in this case, I guess maybe the family, meaning his wife especially, you know, started the whole ball rolling, you know, but there's a long story behind it, and it's a sad story, believe me, but it's hopefully because of Sean, the family is starting to reconcile and come back, and hopefully they'll be whole and healthy at some point.
You know, the overall perception of politics is that it's corrupt, and, you know, from what I've observed, I could be wrong, but I think Sean was outside the little clique. And
he was.
Therefore, okay, Therefore, if he was outside the little clique, had he been inside the clique, do you think all of these allegations would have been made public?
No. No.
Okay.
You're right. You're absolutely right, Cynthia. Politics is corrupt. And I have to say this, and embarrassingly, I've been involved in politics for 50 years now. You know, as executive director of the Albany County Republican Committee when I was young, because I was a Republican. And then after 4 years in that job, I saw how corrupt that party was in Albany County, and I became a Democrat. And, you know, I've been involved in different campaigns and et cetera for, you know, for a long time. And there is corruption in government. You know, I love all of these ethics commissions that they have, but you never hear what they're doing. They might take on a commissioner or they might take on an employee, but they don't take on the elected officials. And look, Sean was said to have squandered money on personal items. But at the same time, we saw that a couple of our elected officials were accused of spending thousands and thousands of dollars on cigars. Now, isn't that the same thing? But nothing was made of it. And I think what you're saying is right. You know, if you're part of the club, you're going to be protected. If you're not part of the club, you're not going to be protected. Sean was never part of the club, and he made it known that he didn't want to be part of the club because he wasn't going to march to the beat of anyone else's drum. And I give him a lot of credit for that, Cynthia. You know? And I have to say also, Dan McCoy was not part of the club. You know, if you remember correctly, Dan took on Frank Camisso and became chairman of the party. Dan took on Charlie Hotelling, who was chairman of the legislature, and became chairman of the legislature. And then when nobody thought he could do it, he became county executive. You know, there's quite a parallel between Dan and Sean. Both firemen, both rebels. Both young.
Right.
And both of them became powerful when most people said that they couldn't do it. But as you see, when a person gains power, people kind of fall in line. Now, the difference is that Dan was a negotiator, and Dan is a negotiator, and Dan knows how to deal with people that are on the opposite side. Sean, on the other hand, he's like a bull in a china closet. He just goes forward and throws you out of the way if you don't want to do what he thinks has to be done for the betterment of his community. You know, Danny is a definite negotiator. He's as far as I'm concerned, he's a political genius. Sean was very non-political.
Okay, because, you know, if you see parallels between Dan McCoy and Sean Morris, Sean's kind of like waning right now politically, where Dan McCoy is still, you know, on top of the world, right?
He is on top of the world. But let me tell you this. He had some glitches, and he still has some glitches. You know, there's the allegation. Again, this is an allegation about staff members working on his campaign during county time. Allegations about the misuse of campaign funds to buy these cigars, et cetera. And, you know, I think – and these all came up after the petitions were filed. So he had no opponent. If he had an opponent, it would not be an easy run for him. I don't care what anybody says. If he had an opponent, all of these things, all of these issues would have become blown up, just like they were with Sean. And, I mean, there's still – I haven't heard anything about what's going on with the staff problem of people working on the campaign during work hours. But, you know, I mean, that's illegal. But you know, yeah, Danny is on top of the world as far as, you know, his public persona and where he's at. He's done a phenomenal, fantastic job as county executive.
I just a few minutes ago mentioned what's in store for Sean, but equally important is what's in store for Cahoes. How will Sean, his stepping aside, what does that mean for politics in Cahoes?
It means that politics is going back to the get-along, go-along era. That that John McDonald and Ron Canastrari and Gil Ethier and all of the old-time politicians that have been entrenched for a long, long time will be in power because they're all supporters of Bill Keeler. And I think you're going to see – I don't think that – look, like I said, Dan has done a fantastic job as county executive. In 3.5 short years, Sean did a fantastic job as mayor of Cahoes. He helped revitalize that city. He brought back the Cahoes Music Hall, renovation of Remsen Street, Cahoes Boulevard, 17 new businesses coming into the city. Those are all under his watch. And, you know, I don't think you're going to see that feel-good attitude of Cahoes remain. You know, I hope it does. I really do. I hope it does. I hope Bill Keeler does well because, I've learned to really respect and like Cahoes a lot. And Sean, you know, surprisingly enough, Steve Napier came in third. Everybody thought he would come in second, but he came in a distant third. And now he's going to, now he's the chairman of the transition committee for Keeler. You know, and that tells me that there might have been a little collusion between the two of them, too, in this election. I wouldn't be surprised if Keeler names him chief of staff at $75,000 or $80,000 a year. You know, my own opinion. He hasn't done it, but I do believe that that's probably what the reward is going to be. But now the question is the reward for what? You know, he was an opponent. You had three people running against Sean. They should have been running against each other, right? Should they not have run against each other? They never debated each other. They all debated Sean.
Mm-hmm. Well, so,
except for Francis, you know. Peter Francis, yeah, actually did a good job.
The fact that, you know, this chapter of Cahoes might be ending right now, but I'm sure, Tom, with your ideas and your political expertise, I'm sure you'll have plenty of to talk about. So would you come back at Focus on Albany and share your thoughts?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Anytime.
Thank you.
Cynthia, you know that.
Thank you.
Be happy to.
Thank you. You've been listening to Tom Shop. Tom was Sean Morris's campaign manager, so I felt it was important to get his opinion of what's going on. So if you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. If you have a comment about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany. Tom, thank you for taking the time to be on the show. I hope you feel better, and thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great day.
And Cynthia, congratulations on over 1,000 podcasts.
Yes. When I tell people that I've done that, they're surprised. And, you know, the more I do it, the more I really love doing this.
Wonderful.
Like you said, you think this is a public service. I'm retired from the state. And this is what I enjoy doing. So I hope to continue doing it for as long as I can. Thank you, Tom. Have a great day,
right,
everybody.
Bye, Cynthia.